The following audio is from Redemption Church. More information about our church can be found at www.redemptionchurchlacombe.org.
Good morning, church family. How are you today? Good to see you all out. As you could tell, I am not Pastor Byron. He is on a well-needed and deserved vacation with his family. They are going to be camping up in the Smokies, having a good time. In fact, they are going to be completely unplugged, so if we need him for anything, he probably won't get it, or he might get it later on in the evening if he gets to a spot that he could get it. But welcome, glad to have you all and all of you online. So last time I was up here, I preached on Isaiah 43, and so the beginning of this sermon kind of sounds similar. In fact, when I was telling Gail about it, she's like, that sounds like the same sermon. I'm like, no, it's not, baby. It's okay. But, you know, one of the things I do here is I'm the family and member care pastor here. And one of the things I do is a lot of counseling and a lot of meeting with people. And it's something I love to do. The truth, though, is there are a lot of things going on right now. We are just in, let's just isolate the 2020. My goodness. This has been like the year that we can't wait to get out of, because what in the world is going on? But life is like this all the time. You know, we have these issues going on. So I am keenly aware of the things that are going on and the impact that those things have on each one of us, each one of you. And so though they could bring us down, though they can cause us to be stuck where we are, we can't let ourselves stay that way. As believers, we have different perspectives in life that we, or non-believers, believers, it doesn't matter. We could look at things differently. And so we're going to look at that a little bit today. We are called to be a voice. Pastor Byron's been working through John, and he has talked about how John the Baptist was only a voice. He said, I'm only here to call people to repent and to be baptized for the repentance of sins, and to point people to the one coming, Jesus. And so as believers, that is what we are called to do as well, to be a voice. So as I look around and I see things in the news, I look on social media, man, it's just a mess. And these things are stressors on each one of us. You know, midst of an election year, we just had a judicial hearing that's in process for a Supreme Court nominee. And with all of these things, there's different sides of the fence, right? There's different people who believe different things about all these different things. And so there's a lot of bickering and fighting, and we're in the midst of a pandemic still. Riots and protests, fear, distrust, anger. I'm just getting anxious thinking about this, and I can't believe I left my name tag off from greeting. So I will take that off. We're in the midst of all this, and with all of that, we find ourselves with problems in life, marital problems, problems with our children, problems at work, just everywhere we go, family problems. And yet, we find ourselves feeling hopeless at times, but we have hope. And so what I'm here today to do is to tell you there is hope, and there is a way in Christ that we have hope. And so where is your head in all of this? Like, where are you? Think for yourself. Like, where am I? Am I the one who's, like, on social media, posting all this stuff, and just fighting with people and arguing with people? Everywhere I go, the conversations are dominated by my views or what I think or what's going on. Or, you know, are you caught up in it all? Well, these are conversations that we have with people, and these are things that go on in our lives. But again, believers, in the midst of all this, are you being a voice pointing to Jesus? Are you being a voice pointing to Jesus? So Paul, in Colossians 3, he gives us a few perspectives, a couple of perspectives on our lives and how we can view these things and how we can view the things of the world. But he makes one important distinction first. In Colossians 3, verses 1 to 4, why don't we go ahead and read those, turn to there, please. Colossians 3, starting with verse 1, we read, if then you have been raised with Christ, Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things on this earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Amen? So take a look at that. If you have been raised with Christ, he tells us to seek the things that are above. Seek the things that are above. Two perspectives. If you have been with Christ, we're going to seek the things that are above. For you have died with him. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for your sin, for my sin. And when you put your trust and your faith in him, it's as if you died on that cross with him. He paid the price for you. And so symbolically, positionally, you died with him, and you are raised with him as well. And your life is now hidden in him. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. He wants us to live in him. He tells us to abide in him, to live in him. And we're called to set our mind on things that are above, not on the things of the earth. I'll tell you, sometimes it's tough to tell a believer from a non-believer based on the things that they say, do, and even post on social media. And maybe I'm on my little milk crate right now, and you know, I'm on social media and I look at all these things, and we just have to be so very careful, brothers and sisters, about who we are representing. Who are we representing? You have died. Your life is hidden in him. Set your mind on things that are above. Take a look at chapter 2, just one page over or one page back for you, depending on your Bible. Chapter 2 of Colossians, verses 6 to 10. Paul tells the church there, see to it that no one takes you captive. Let me back up. Verse 6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. So if you are in Christ, guess what? Check this out. Jesus is God. Tells us right here, Paul tells us, in Jesus, the fullness of deity dwells bodily. In Jesus, the fullness of God. And your life is hidden in him. If you are in him, you've got the power of God through the Holy Spirit at your fingers. Man, that just changes everything. That just changes everything for me, because I can look at the things of the world and get so beat up and frustrated and worn out and tired. I don't know about you guys, but I'm tired of going to the stores and being told to put a mask on. Right? I mean, but we do it, and we do what we're being asked to do, but you could get so easily beat up and frustrated about all these things. But if you are in Christ, we are to have a whole different perspective. We're not to be taken captive by all the things of this world, all the different things that distract us, all the different things that cause us to just get caught up in it. All right, so Paul gives us two perspectives. I keep telling you that, and so far I'm only giving you one. He tells us to be earthly, that he says that we can be earthly minded, or we can be heavenly minded. So I want you to examine for yourself today, those of you who are in Christ, I'm speaking to specifically, have you been living in an earthly mindset, caught up in the things all around you? Or have you been living with a heavenly mindset, keeping your eyes on Christ? Paul tells us, continuing on in Colossians chapter 3, let's go ahead and read verses 5 to 6, to put to death what is earthly in you. He wants us to put it to death. Take a look. Put to death, verse 5, therefore what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Put those things to death. It's kind of interesting because the things that he lists there, the different sins, the different things that he talks about, are the kinds that we could easily hide within ourselves. They're the kind that maybe they impact others directly, maybe they don't, or maybe they don't just yet, but they're in there, and they're a distraction. They are earthly. They are demonic. They are not of God. And he tells us to put them to death. He doesn't want us to just kind of like brush them under the rug or put them away or ignore them. Put them to death. Kill them. Kill those things. Man, how many problems do we all have that we just sit there and play with these things? We play with these sins. We play with these different things in the world, and we think we're okay. We think just a little bit here, just a little bit there, it's okay. Maybe the Bible doesn't even directly condemn it. But is it the best? Is it what Christ wants you to set your things on your mind on things above? Or does it set your mind on things around you or even yourself? Is it setting your mind on the things that you want that are hindering you from your walk with Christ? He tells us to put them to death, those things. And then there's ones, he continues on in verses 7 to 9, of them a little more external. They kind of impact directly other people. I mean, you better believe they do. Take a look. Let's go ahead and read verses 7 to 9. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. These are things that certainly impact those around us. Anger? Anybody in here? Don't raise your hand, please. Anybody in here struggling with some anger? He tells us to put it away, right? He doesn't tell us to play with it. It's okay. If you feel, if you're right and he's wrong or she's wrong, it's okay. Put it away. This is right in context with putting other things to death. Put it away. Man, that emotion gets the best of us. Take a look with me. James 1, 19 and 20. It should be up on the screen. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Does anger produce righteousness? Does anger just mess everything up? Look, I've been there. I'm not speaking from like I'm this passive guy that just could get along great with everybody. I've been there. He tells us to put it away, put it off. Wrath. Wrath is a sort of out of control rage. Malice. A desire to inflict harm on others. Oh, this one's going to touch some people here maybe. Slander. Slander is like gossip. Slander, just talking about others, maybe saying things negative about others and bringing them down. Way to put them all away, brothers and sisters. Obscene talk, the Bible doesn't say that word is bad. Does it bring glory to God? Does it speak words of kindness? Does it build up and edify? Does it encourage? Does it strengthen? Put it away and do not lie. God hates a liar. Do not lie. Put these things off. He says, as believers, you once walked in these things. In other words, your manner of life was these things continuously. And maybe you might say, well, that's a pretty good guy. You still did these things. But in Christ, in Him, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to get these things taken away from us, to put them to death, to put them off. This is what the Word of God is calling for us to do here, brothers and sisters. Things that we all need to work on. So if this is you, you can do something about it. Okay, what? You can do something about it. In fact, as believers, we are told to do something about it, to put them to death and to put them away what is earthly in you. So we keep playing with these things. We keep justifying them. We keep saying they're okay, or, yeah, I really ought to stop that. Paul is pretty clear. The Word of God is pretty clear. Put them away, put them off, put them to death, and then you can do three things. I like to call them the three R's.
We are to recognize that we have these struggles in our lives, that we haven't yet, as a believer, put them off. We haven't yet, as a believer, put them to death. And we're to repent. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. Doesn't say, you're doing it on your own, right? You're the faithful one. No. He is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. He takes it away. He washes it clean. And then He tells us to respond and change our perspective. Now we're going to look at the second perspective. So we had the earthly perspective, earthly minded. Now we're going to look at things above. Change our perspective. So we need to be heavenly minded as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Beloved. Take a look at Colossians, continuing on with verse 10. He tells us to put those off, put off the old self with its practices in 9, and then in 10 he tells us, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek or and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Tells us to put on our new selves. I wish I could have found this, but I have two t-shirts at home. And if I could have found them, I would have brought them in and showed you. One of them, well, when I joined the Navy in 1989 and went through basic training and A school and all that, I found this shirt that said, Navy, just do it. And it had like the Nike swoosh. And I was like, oh, that's a cool shirt. So I bought that and I wore that thing to death over 20 years, 30 years. It's been that long. It has holes in it. It's worn out. It's thin. It's got patches. But I love that shirt. And my wife was like, honey, you better get rid of the shirt and especially don't wear it again. And one day I found a new one. I found a new one, slightly different. It's blue, not gray. I think the other one was gray. It's been a while. I can't find it. And it says the same thing. It's got the Nike swoosh on the arm. I'm like, that's cool. So I bought that. So I took off the old one, the old, dirty, tattered, worn out garment. I still don't think I threw it out, though. Somewhere. She might have thrown it out on me. And I began wearing the new one. I put on the new one. And that's who we are in Christ. Put on the new person. Stop making excuses for where you are. Start living it. He calls us to put those things to death, to put them off, and put on the new man. Change our perspective. Let's take a look at what that looks like. A compassionate heart. In verse 10. Let's see. Do not lie. Okay. Blah, 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 and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here. Okay. I lost my spot. All right. Verse 12, that's why. Okay, I'm back on. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving one another, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. These are the things he calls us to. He says to put on the new, put off the old. The new is a compassionate heart. Now suddenly we're not just thinking about what I want. You're not just thinking about yourself. You're thinking about others with a compassionate heart. Thinking about how they're feeling. I mean, as a counselor, I deal with a lot of feelings, right? And feelings are something that are real. We all have them. And they're good because they're indicators of something going on in our life, whether it's happiness or joy or anger or disappointment. These point to something going on, but we're not to let these emotions run our lives. They are not to be what's driving us. They're to be an indicator to let us know something's up, and then we make a change. We don't just stay there. And so thinking of others, compassionate heart, kindness, just because we can say something doesn't mean we ought to. Just because it's true doesn't mean it's kind. So we ought to think about the words that we say with humility, recognizing that we don't know it all. Guess what? You don't know it all. I don't know it all. Keep remembering that, thinking about that, and show some humility. I've heard that humility is not thinking about myself, not thinking of myself less, or thinking less of myself, not thinking less of myself, but thinking about myself less. In other words, not saying, oh, woe is me, I'm not saying anything, I'm just being humble. No, how about, don't even think about yourself. Think about others more than yourself. That's true humility. Meekness. Your opinion does not have to overrule everybody else's. You don't have to win that Facebook argument. With patience. Remember, the Lord's got this. The Lord has got this. Show patience with others, patience waiting on the Lord, and trust him. Seek him. Continues on in verses 13 and 14. He talks about putting on the idea of bearing with one another. He tells us, bearing with one another, if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Is that something we practice regularly? Forgiveness? Is that something maybe we struggle with? Forgiveness? Oh, boy, but we want to be forgiven when we wrong somebody, don't we? Well, it tells us to forgive one another if somebody did something wrong to you. And above all, love. Above all, love. We're told in Corinthians that that's the greatest love. The greatest gift of all is love. To love others. With that love, it binds everything together in perfect harmony. Who doesn't want perfect harmony? Do we want things running out of sync? Or do we want things crazy in our lives? Or do we want things in harmony? I want things in harmony, I'll tell you that. And that's something we ought to work on. That's something that we're to strive for. When we set our minds on things above, these things all around us, everything just changes. Our perspective completely changes. With that, we can lead others to Christ. With that, we can be the voice that John the Baptist was, that we're told to be. With that, with all this other stuff that we're told to put off, we're not going to win anybody to Christ. And guess what? It's not us that does the winning or the work anyway, but we are called to be a light, and we are called to be a voice, and we can't do that if we're caught all up in the things of this world and ourselves. And so I want to challenge you to put them off. Let me see if I could do this with a mic in my hand. I'm going to swap out my glasses real quick. These are my old glasses. I can actually still see through them somewhat. But I wasn't going to try to read with them. But let's imagine this piece of tape here is anger. This piece of tape here, that might be the elections. This piece of paper here, that's COVID. Can't even get it to stick. This piece of tape here might be your marriage. It's getting harder to see. I don't know, but I can still see a little bit through here. But I don't know. Maybe we'll throw in some road rage. Now I really can't see. My perspective is so messed up right now. So if we focus on the things all around us, what good are we? Can't see a thing. Paul tells us to take them off, to put them to death. If I didn't want to keep these, I'd throw them on the floor and crush them. But I want to keep them. And put on the new man. Set our mind on things above. And then we could see clearly. Then we could be effective with our life. We can walk around all day looking at everybody and everything else and being in everybody else's business. And we're of no effect for the Lord Jesus. Or we could set our mind on things above and have an impact all around us. In our family, in our workplaces, in our community, everywhere we go. There may be times, though, where we're walking along and maybe we get a little muddied up. But we have the perspective. Our perspective has changed. We're looking up and, man, we just get in the pit. We're told to repent, right? And this I am having a hard time doing one-handed. We're told to repent, to confess our sins. And it's Jesus, right, that cleanses all our sin, cleanses us. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he may have to clean us up a little bit from time to time. But our perspective must be, as believers, to set our mind on things above, not on things of the earth. So I want to challenge you all to do that, to have this idea of looking to Christ. That my conviction lately has been to stop being so caught up in the things around me. Stop living this life from an earthly perspective. Stop living this life from the perspective that everything I see, hear, touch, feel, do right now is what's important and what matters. The big picture is it doesn't. Christ has the victory. All this stuff, he's going to handle it. Let's take a look at that. We can clearly see his plan when we have a heavenly perspective, and we are blessed in Christ. In Christ, we can have peace. In Christ, we can worship, and we can be thankful. Take a look at Colossians 3:15-16. And with this, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Called to peace, right? And be thankful. That's a key word in Scripture. And be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. He wants to give you peace. He doesn't want you stuck where you are. In counseling, there is a lot of dissension, a lot of issues that don't bring peace. But Christ wants us to focus on him and have peace and trust him that he is going to handle it. He tells us in John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Christ came to bring peace in our hearts when we keep our eyes on him. I think back, and this came to me thinking back about when Peter walked on water with Jesus. And the waves were high. He got out of the boat. That was a big deal, right? He got out of the boat and he trusted Jesus. But then he looked around and started seeing all the waves and all the storms around him. And he took his eyes off of Christ. And what happened? Whew. He began to sink, right? And then he had to cry out to Jesus. Don't keep your eyes on the storm. Jesus has peace. Jesus brings peace. He tells us not to be anxious about the things of the world. Take a look with me at Matthew chapter 6. Familiar passage. Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 25. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into their barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than them? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, or the non-believers. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So he says, we ask these questions. He says, "Therefore, do not be anxious," verse 31, saying, "What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Or who will be our next president? Or when will COVID be done? Or when are things just going to get better?" Don't be anxious about these things. The Father in heaven knows that you're in need of these things. And he's in control. And he's got this. And he wants us to come before him. And he wants us to bring these things to him. Take a look with me at Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Should be up on the screen, I believe. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by what? Prayer and supplication. Let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God." So he tells us, don't be anxious. Give them to him. Give these things to God by prayer and by supplication. So we're going before him and we're asking him to help us in these things. Consistently asking him to help us in these things. And what does he do? He says, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Believer, if you are in Christ, if you have been raised with Christ, and you're in the midst of a trial, and people come up to you and say, "How in the world are you handling this so well?" You could say, "That's the peace of Christ. That's the peace of God that's alive in me. I don't even understand it myself. But I gave it to him." You want to know how you could have peace like this too? Now, guess what? You're not being a worry wart, being like everybody else. Everybody's hearing your business and all, woe is me. They're hearing about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. And the reality is, he may answer favorably with how you want things. He may say no. And he may say not now. That's where that patience comes in. And you keep seeking him. And through all that, whether it's yes, no, or not now, you can have peace knowing that he's going to do what's best for you. He knows better than you do what is best for you. So go ahead. Keep holding on to all that stuff. See just how much peace you have. He wants us to give it to him. And then he tells us, back in Colossians, to do this, to live this way with an attitude of gratitude. You can remember that. An attitude of gratitude. He wants us to be thankful in verse 14. He tells us, to be thankful, 15, and be thankful. 16, with thankfulness, let the word of God, Christ, dwell in you. At the end there, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And then back to chapter 2, verse 7. Abounding in thanksgiving. This is important because if you look, and we're not going to go there right now, but go ahead and look at Romans 1, verses 18 to the end. And in Romans 1, it says the people had knowledge of God. They knew that he was God. They knew that there was a God. They could look at all the things around them. And they chose to worship the creature rather than the creator. And they were not thankful. God loves a thankful heart. He wants us to be thankful for him. Thankful for the things he's blessing us with. Thankful for the things he's doing in our life. He wants us to have an attitude of gratitude. He also calls us, when we set our mind on things above, to a personal and corporate worship. What we're doing here and what we're called to do at home. We're not called to just get our ticket punched. Okay, I've got salvation. Now I can just do what we can live however I want. He wants us to worship him. He tells us to let the word of Christ dwell in you. Richly teaching and admonishing one another. That's what we do in small groups, right? That's what we do here in this time of worship. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I feel bad for the group that sits near me because you hear my voice. It doesn't get better when I sing, but I'm singing anyway because I want to worship Jesus. My kids, Dad, stop. Stop singing, Dad. Dad, stop. I don't care because I'm called in my personal life to worship him, to learn more about him, to spend time in his word, spend time in prayer, and to spend time worshiping him through song, hymns, and spiritual songs. You too, believers, are called to do the same thing. We are without excuse. And we're called to do these things in community. He tells us to do these things to one another, right? He doesn't just say, teach yourself, but in community to teach and admonish one another and do these things to God. So we're called to have, in verse 17, a heavenly-minded perspective. A heavenly-minded perspective. He tells us in verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Does he say, come to church in the Lord Jesus? As he say, come and receive me in the Lord Jesus? Well, he tells us to do those things, right? Does he tell us, let me put it this way, does he tell us only to do it in those circumstances? He tells us everything we do. If you're a janitor, you're doing it unto the Lord Jesus. If you're a teacher, you're doing it unto the Lord Jesus. If you are in the military, you're doing it, if you're a believer, unto the Lord Jesus. It doesn't matter what you do. We're called to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. That way we could be that voice. That way we can share the light and the love of Christ. Galatians 2:20 is one of my favorite verses. Says, Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. See, I haven't memorized King James, nevertheless I live, but I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Man, how's that for a life verse? I have been crucified with him. I have been put to death. He tells us, if any of you in Luke 9, if any of you want to follow me, want to be my disciple, to take up your cross. That means die to yourself every day. Mortify those things. Put them to death. Put them off. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. You are not your own. Christ is in you, believer. And the life I now live in the flesh, I'm still here on this earth. You're still here on this earth. I live by faith in the Son of God. Not my own way, His way. Son of God who loved me, and He loved me enough, He gave Himself for me. He loves you enough, He died for you. He loves you enough that He gave His life for you. So, I've been speaking to believers. Christ loves all of you enough to give Himself for you. Is this you? Are you in Christ? Because if you're not, you could try to put all those things off all you want. That's called behavioral modification. It does not work. It will fail every single time. He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to recognize that we have sin in our life. If you do not know Him, confess your sin to Him. Repent. Say, repenting is merely saying, I'm no longer walking for myself my own way. I'm turning around, walking towards the things of God. I'm acknowledging that I'm a sinner and that the things and the way I've lived are sin, and I want Jesus. So I'm walking to Him. I'm no longer going to go that way, but I'm going to go that way. And confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He is the one who paid the price for your sin, that there is nothing you could do, no prayer, no special magic prayer, guys, no amount of times you could go to church or do good works to receive Christ. You must submit yourself to Him, surrender to Him, and He will give you life. Then He calls you to set your mind on things above, to have a new perspective. So I want to challenge you with these things. If you are in Christ, take these things off. Put all these things of the world away. Just get rid of them. Put them to death. Stop getting so caught up in the things around you that you are of no effect to Jesus. All you are is a key point for some group or some person that doesn't even know you anyway. Put on eyes for Christ. Set your mind, your heart, your everything, your whole life on Christ, on the things above. And He will bring you peace. He will do all these things. So in closing, set your mind on things above. Put to death the old ways. The old ways are gone. You've been changed in Christ. You have the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Romans 8 tells us about this. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is alive in you. And we see that back in Colossians 2. For in Him, in Jesus, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him. Man, we've got some Holy Spirit power, some Holy Ghost power. Just thinking of a song. You have the power of God alive in you. Live it. Put away these things. Put on the things of Christ. Compassionate heart, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. And that love that He brings binds all things together in perfect harmony. Again, 1 John 1:9. You're going to mess up. You're going to sin. You're not going to get it right every time. It tells us to confess our sins. He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And finally, you don't have to worry and be anxious about these things. A couple of weeks is an election. They're saying this COVID thing's going to pass soon. Maybe they'll have a vaccine. Maybe they won't. I don't know. And frankly, I'm trusting God with it all. And so I challenge you to do the same. So verse 17, and finally, whatever you do in word or deed, that's all things, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Filter the things of the world through glasses that have a mindset on Christ, with a heavenly mindset. In a moment, our worship team will come back up, and we'll have a time of response. This is a time where, if the Holy Spirit is saying something to you, convicting your heart of holding on to stuff, of living in this world, of living for self, of neglecting what Christ has called you to be and who you are in him, for you to repent. You could do it right in your seat. And if you don't know him, and you want to know him, and you are feeling that the Lord is leading you to come to him, you could do that as well, and you could cry out to him right in your seat. But if you want prayer, if you want to be able to come and talk, if you want a partner in this that will pray with you continuously, even beyond today, I'll be in the foyer. And I'll be there to receive you during that song to pray with you. And those prayers will be shared with only Pastor Byron and Andrew, our staff. And we'll pray for you throughout the week and continuously. And you'll have a partner, because we'll be able to come alongside you and say, hey, how are you doing with this? How can we help you? We are here for you. That's what a shepherd does, is we love those who are in here. If you're online, there's a spot where you can go ahead on the website and you could put a prayer request in. That'll come to all three of us. And we do pray for you. So let's go ahead and close in prayer, and the worship team will come on up. Lord God, I thank you that you are God, and I am not. I thank you, Lord, that you are the one who does the saving, and I can do nothing. I thank you, Lord, that you have called those of us who are in Christ, who have been raised with him, to live a life that sets our mind on things above. Father, this world and the enemy want to distract and confuse us and make us of no effect. But God, you have made a way that we could come before you and we could repent of our sin. We could put these things off. We could put these things to death. And we could trust you and give them to you, and you take care of it all. And with that, we receive peace. We receive a peace that we can't even understand. That doesn't even make sense. But God, you do that for us. And so I pray, Lord God, that we would, in fact, come before you. That we would, in fact, surrender our lives to you, Lord. That we would bring these things to you and set our mind on things above and stop playing with the things of this world. They're not worth it. All they do is cause trouble. They don't lead us in godliness. They don't point others to Christ. And Father, we're miserable in the end. And so, Lord, if there's anybody here that does not know you, I pray that they would come to you today. And Father, I pray that if there are any who are being convicted by your Spirit to repent of their sin, that they would do so today. Lord, help us not to go another moment, another day in our sin, but let us give it all to you and trust you to do all the work. Lord God, we love you and we praise you, and we desperately need you today. In Jesus' name, amen.